I've been doing a Bible study for a few months with some good friends of mine, and we're going through the book of Romans. And the first few verses of chapter 5 has really impacted me. So, you know, we talked about that this week, and as I put actually about 3 messages together, and I really felt like the Lord wanted to talk to us today about peace beyond the moment. You know, and Paul writes in Romans, hopefully, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Lord, we need your peace. We're going to look at today what your peace is and what it isn't. Help us not to misdefine what your word peace means, Lord God. It doesn't mean the removal of stress. It doesn't mean removal of hardship. We'll not name it and claim it. But we know that we can have your peace beyond the moment, beyond today, as we keep our eyes on you. So I pray that you would speak to all of us, Lord, and you are speaking to this church and to me to come in deeper. That is a word that you have given us for months, if not years. It's time to go deeper. It's time for us to let go completely and to jump into the abyss of faith, going forward without knowing what's going to happen. In your name, amen. If you're over the age of like 35 years old, then 22 years ago tomorrow probably rocked your world. You know, I remember being in the church office when 9/11 hit. And in fact, that's all you got to say, 9/11, you don't have to explain what happened. And I remember my mom calling me up at the time and saying the first tower fell, and the plane hit the second tower, and then the Pentagon, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember talking to a good friend of mine who lived in he worked in downtown D.C. at the time, and, you know, I just said how freaky it was to be able to go up on top of the building and see the Pentagon, you know, smoking. We saw some horrific terrorist acts that rocked the United States of America. You know, we praise those brave men that took the plane down in Pennsylvania before it could go for the White House. But all of a sudden, as a nation, we were suddenly had this ugly realization. We were vulnerable. Our peace was stolen. You know, and really comes to a place where we get unnerved when what we count on lets us down. My wife is smart enough not to put her hope in me. Why? Because she knows I will let her down. As your pastor, I hope you're smart enough not to put your ultimate hope in me, because I'm a man, I will let you down. That's called reality. I love Paul in the first couple verses of this chapter because he addresses how we can get the ultimate peace. And what he's doing, he's also talking to some Jewish believers and the Jews in Rome saying, hey, you know what? You're not going to get peace by the law. You're not going to get peace through the Old Testament, because what the law does, it shows us how wicked we are and how much we fall short, but we get peace when we have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, let's enjoy the amazing blessing of peace. First point, peace, be still. We all want peace. We all are desperate for a deep sense of peace. You know, about 4 years ago, a woman named Hope Darst released this song called Peace Be Still, and it's a real cool song. I like to listen to it and just kind of reflect on everything God does for me. But in these two verses, you know, Paul addresses the peace that we seek. And he says here in verse 1, we are justified by faith. Now, justified means we are acquitted in God's eyes. We are declared righteous. It's the opposite of condemnation. In God's eyes, when I put my faith in Jesus, when I said, I'm a sinner, Christ, you died for my sins, forgive me, I'm going to repent, I'm going to live for you, then I have peace. I remember the night I did that. I remember exactly, forgive me for being old, but August 10th, 1979, as an unchurched person, when somebody shared the gospel with me and I knew it was true, and I asked Christ into my life, instantly there was something changed inside of me that I knew I was okay eternally. Now, it didn't mean I didn't go through periods of depression, et cetera, but I knew that God declared me righteous. You know, I like what Paul writes in Romans 4. But the words it was accounted to him, was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be accounted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We are justified by faith. Let me ask you a question. Does God condemn? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But Pastor, my Bible says there is no condemnation. Finish the sentence. For those who are in Christ Jesus, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior, you are condemned to hell. Because God is a righteous God, and the only person that can go to heaven when they die is the one that has the identity of Jesus Christ. When I ask God to forgive me, and I ask Christ into my life, said, I'm going to live for you. God looks down, and he doesn't see me. He sees Christ in me. So when I die, he's going to say, man, you're whiter than snow. Come on in. But we're justified not by what we do, not by how we act, not by how we treat people. That's important as Christians, as a follower of Jesus. My life and your life needs to reflect how he lives. But faith in Jesus alone brings peace. Peace doesn't mean contentment. It doesn't mean satisfaction. Peace doesn't even mean quiet. Peace, in this sense, is the state of being reconciled as opposed to being in enmity to God, which is hostile, which is actively opposed. And maybe you're sitting there and you don't have Christ. You say, I'm not an enemy of God. I beg to differ. Because there's words of a man in the Bible, and when he spoke in red letters. And he said, if you're not with me, you're against me. So maybe you don't know if God's real. Maybe you belong to a different religion. That's just a false religion that the enemy has put out there to make people feel good. But Jesus said, you are either with me or against me. I remember before my mom became a Christian, we debated this for years. Well, I'm a good person. Well, you know what? There's a lot of good people in hell. Because if you do one bad thing, that's called sin, and you have to be righteous to go to heaven. But Pastor, I saw you speeding down the road the other day. I'm still forgiven. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Paul is assuring his Jewish leaders, justification is permanent, even if I go 57 in a 55. God will forgive me. Even if I do a white lie on the phone, oh, I really have an appointment, I can't talk about this right now. God forgives me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm giving you permission to go sin. Sorry, I watched the Bills this afternoon and I got drunk. I was so happy. No, I'm not saying you can do that. You still got to act righteously, the best of your ability. And that's one of the things that we've been hitting on for the last year, and I want to keep hitting. We're called to be holy. Holiness is living God's way, not my way. I mean, when I pray for this church, one of the things I pray is, Lord, I'm glad you're sitting down. I am one opinionated man. I know what my vision is, but I don't want my vision. I want God's vision. So I'm not saying you guys have freedom to do anything. What I'm saying is when I accepted Christ, I was forgiven yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm forgiven. I live in forgiveness. We have a declaration of peace with God through the death of Christ when we accept him. John 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Close your eyes, would you please? Bear with me. I'm thinking some of you are troubled right now. You have things that legitimately should trouble you. I get that. It could be financial. It could be prodigals in your life. It could be health concerns. Lord, I just pray for everybody in this room right now that we would heed these words of Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. New covenant, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus Christ. So the first thing I'm talking about is peace be still. Open your eyes, please. Second thing I want to talk about is let's stand in God's grace. It's a privilege to possess the grace of God. What do you mean by that? I have God's favor with relationship with Jesus Christ. I have him in my life. You know, do you remember the Old Testament? What kept the Jews from God? The veil. What happened when Jesus got killed? That veil was ripped in two. I have access to God. I don't have to ask this person in heaven to go talk to God for me. I don't even have to say a certain prayer. You know what I have found? God hears me if I'm walking, if I'm sitting. I don't kneel much because I got arthritis in my knees, and that really doesn't feel good. And sometimes I wake up at night and I pray to God, and I think he hears me. Sometimes I pray with people with my eyes wide open. I was at a conference once, and this lady said, and I'm going to tell you, some of you 1980-something charismatics are going to want to stone me, but that's okay. When we go to a restaurant with my family, this is a very famous speaker, we say grace at every meal, but we do it with our eyes open. Sometimes I'm at Dunkin' Donuts, I pray, have coffee with my buddy Wade Smith, and I pray with my eyes open. And you know what I'm thinking? God hears me. But your eyes aren't open, doesn't it? No, it ain't illegitimate. So I got peace with God. The veil has been ripped. Don't put the veil back up. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't add to the Bible what you want it to add. If it was, one of my statements of faith would be, if you like the Yankees or the Bills, you don't get heaven. I'm kidding, okay? I got a brother who loves the Yankees, and I just had dinner with him last night. We had a great time. So what I'm saying is, I'm trying to be stupid with my examples, like if you ever touch wine, you're going to hell. No, been there, done that, heard that. I'm not saying we should add to it. What I'm saying is, let the Bible be the Bible, and let's not add to it. Don't put the veil back up by saying, well, you got to live a certain way, you got to dress a certain way. I remember I was in the church years ago and I said, you know what? I want all of our ushers to wear lime green t-shirts so you could see them. Sharon right now would be, she'd be an usher, okay? So I had a guy come up to me and go, well, you mean golf shirts, right? I said, no, t-shirts. God will still love us if we have a t-shirt on. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You have to grab a hold of this. You have to focus on God. So in every circumstance, your faith won't come under attack. Why does this peace and why does this stillness escape us? Because we don't focus on Jesus Christ. Very often what we do is we focus on what's happening in our life. We focus on our aches and pains. We focus on our finances. We focus on... I find God has a sense of humor. I bought this house up north and I had $2,500. And I'm buying me, I had it set in place, this old pickup truck with a plow, because I had like 75 yards or so I had to snow blow. So we close on the house and I'm happy because I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do plowing on the side. It's going to be Mel's plowing, so it's going to put her into work too. So we get home and the lawyer calls and said, hey, the bank made a mistake. You owe them another $1,600. Oh, cool. Hour later, yeah, there's another mistake. You owe them another $900. I said, I'll be right down. There ain't no way I'm going to take that at face value. So I go down and said, and he made a mistake, and he added wrong, and Mel's plowing never occurred. So I have learned to trust God even when Mel can't plow. So what happens is our focus, it overshadows God. I mean, there are so many things in my life, if I explain it to you, and don't worry, I won't, it makes no sense. I shared with you, and my mom said, hey, I want to move to Simeon DeWitt. I said, that'd be great, I'm moving to Copenhagen. Does that make sense to you? The same day I told her that, she told, I trust God. Because if I focused on that, I would get angry with God, and my faith would be diminished. You know, in Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, Paul writes, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Now, sometimes we have doubts. That's different than unbelief. If you have doubts, it's okay. Talk to God. He can handle it. When you're going through things and you don't understand it, I would ask you to pray through it till you have a sense of peace. You won't have a sense of understanding because you're not God. But Paul says, you know, he grew in his faith as he gave glory to God. We have to understand when we are thankful, it changes how we think. So we got to start looking at life rather than say, I want this, I want that. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. And we need to praise God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The thing I love about the Psalms is David ministered to himself. We need to minister to ourselves so that our focus does not overshadow God. We are sanctified. That means we are set apart for God's special use, for his specific purposes. Peace comes as I choose to be intimate with God. Some of us don't have a lot of peace because we're not intimate with God. We don't read his word, not out of a legalistic way, but to get to know him better. We don't spend time in prayer with him. We just, you know, we put him on the shelf for most of the week and we wonder why when life hits, we get uneasy, we don't have peace. It's because we need to embrace the Lord. Billy Graham says, being a Christian is more than a conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Jesus. You know what Paul is writing, letting the Jews know here? It's not about religion. Even though I'm a pastor, I am not a religious person. What do I mean by that? To me, religion is man's way of getting close to God. Cross every T and dot every I. Relationship is me embracing Jesus that he paid the price for my sins, asking him to forgive me and into my life. Then I got a relationship. So the last point I'm making is we have to have intentional investment. We need to prepare for takeoff. We have to know, like what Billy Graham said, this is a process. Daily, I got to give myself to the Lord daily. Verse 2, Paul writes in Romans 5, through him, through Jesus, we have obtained access by faith. I can talk to the God of all things, the creator of all things. You know, grace to me is the spiritual state of a born-again believer who we live in God's favor. We live in his gifting. I don't just, you know, it's by grace you're saved, not by faith. You know, not by works. Excuse me, it is by faith. You know, you can't act your way into heaven. There are three boys in my family, and for some reason I was the youngest, and I was the black sheep. But I was good at manipulating. I knew when I got grounded for years on end that if I act like an angel for a day and a half, my dad would let me do. He would release it. So I played it. I was good at it. I was a master manipulator. It doesn't work with God. But God, I read 4.5 chapters of Psalms today. I prayed for 8 minutes. I even waited for the person at the stoplight that forgot to turn the signal on, so I had to wait for 4 minutes, which drives me absolutely nuts. But you know what, God? I think I deserve heaven. How about this? No, don't look at that, God. Now, what do I say born again? Do you know there's no Christian who's not born again? What do you mean by that? If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Take it from the man. Jesus said that. To get to heaven, you got to be born again, which means I made that acknowledgement that I am a sinner, that God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, that I have to ask him to forgive me and say, come into my heart, so then I have his identity. You see, grace is a spiritual state. We're born again. We have favor. We need to rejoice. Some of your lives, you're really going through the pits, but you got Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ. Sometimes I tell people, I don't want your Jesus because you look like a grump from Sesame Street. I'm sorry. I want people that can smile in the storms. Now, I'm not saying joy is just skip giddily like a moron down the road, but what I'm saying joy is I know that I know that I know that I know when life sucks that Jesus is going to see me through. That is peace. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You all have something to be happy for. I know what suffering is. At the end of last week, I ran out of everything to drink but bottled water and seltzer, which is horrific. But the man keeps telling me that soda's not good for you, so I'm trying to cut off it. I was in agony. I am not going to lie to you. Prayers would be accepted. It was so bad, I went and got about 2% milk, a bottle of that, and drank it. What am I saying? We all go through things, and I know that wasn't really hardship. I'm being sarcastic. But we have to keep our eyes on the God. How do you make this verse come to life? Look at that cross. Those of you at home can't. It's empty. Why is it empty? Because my God died for me. My God knew from Adam on we're all condemned to damnation forever. Where do you think the phrase damn it to hell came from? Pastor swore. No, it's a fact. Jesus died. So in 1979, as a very unchurched person, I never went to church, and I knew he died for me. And I asked God to forgive me. And I asked him, I said, God, I'm yours. To me, that's what being born from above means. I made a choice for Jesus Christ. Then you know what I knew? I received his peace. I knew that he was God. Now, what can we do to have steps to peace with God? You need to repent. Can I say something? Unconfessed sin will close God's ears to you. If you're living in sin and you're choosing to live in sin. Now, let me say something. There's a difference between the struggles of our lives. We all have temptations. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we fall, but then we're heartbroken about it. That's not what I'm talking about. Because we're heartbroken and we ask God to help us, that's okay. But unconfessed sin leads to spiritual dryness, And if you're not careful, it hardens your heart. I like what Oswald Chambers writes in his devotion. He says, sometimes you don't get your prayers answered because, men, you're not being a good husband. You're not being a good father. Moms, you're not being a good wife or mother. How we treat people. Sometimes, if you want peace in your life, you need to confess your sins to God. And I'm not saying you have to remember every sin you ever did, because it's impossible. But we just have to say, Lord, help me, like David, create in me a clean heart. God, search me. It's impossible to have peace with God if you don't live his way. We have to offer praise. We have to be thankful. You know, one of the guys in the Bible study, I like what he said. When life gets hard, he just puts on praise music. You know, I do that. I got hearing aids, so I just put on Spotify or something. And like yesterday, I'm over here doing stuff, and I just sat there and I just worshiped the Lord. It was just me, God, my hearing aids. And I'm thankful for what God gave me. Oh, I would like more. I could, you kidding me? You know what I hate? My wife will say, hey, what do you want for Christmas? You don't give me anything. I mean, usually, pretty easy, you know, like coffee and puffs with Vicks, because that is an awesome combination. But then she goes, no. And you guys laugh. I'm telling you the truth. But I did learn once, don't tell people you like Velveeta, because I got like 5 boxes of the stuff like 20 years ago. So I quit doing that. So anyways, but then she goes, well, no, what do you want? Well, then they get to list. And I mean, she'd have to take out 4 jobs to fulfill that list. So I want to be more thankful rather than, well, I want this, I want that. No, if you want steps to peace with God, repent, be thankful, and surrender and commit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't want God on my terms. He doesn't want to be on your terms either. He wants us to say, Lord, here am I, send me. My wife and I cried, true story, 1981, when we prayed and I graduated from this college out here, and God said, stay in Oswego. I then knew what purgatory was. Oswego. It snows. But you know what we did? Through tears, we said, God, whatever you want, you got to change our hearts. And within a week, he had. It's not because we're people of faith. It's because we were very weak, and we turned to God and said, here, and he goes, you need help. Boom, I'm going to do this instantly. If I did that same prayer today, he'd go, I'll get back to you in 4 years. Why? Because he wants my faith to grow. So commitment means letting go of control, letting go of your time, letting go of your opinions. Let's have a fast. For the next 13 months, 16 months, whatever, let's have a political opinion fast, okay? Till the elections are over, what are you saying, Pastor? Don't want to hear it. Newsflash, neither does the Facebook world want to hear your opinions. I know it's hard for you to believe. I want us to pray. I want God to move because, oh, this country needs it. But you know what? So do I. So we got to let go of our opinions. Here's the tough one. You got to let go of your finances. You know, one of the principles that Mel and I do work by is soon as we, with all the tithing and giving we get, when we get to the comfortable place, we pray, Lord, where do we stretch ourselves now? Because I don't want to be dependent on myself. I want to be dependent upon him. And also, commitment means let go of your expectations. So many people get upset with the Lord because he doesn't meet their expectations, but the fact is it was never his expectation. In verse 2 of Romans 5, Paul writes, the end, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what that word rejoice means? It means to boast. You see, without Jesus Christ, you got nothing to boast about. But I scored 4 touchdowns yesterday. Tell the devil that when you're in there with him. But when I got Jesus Christ, I can boast of his righteousness. I rejoice because I got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm still going to mess up. I'm still going to ask God to help me. But I am going to do my best to live in a way that glorifies him. Remember that hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Okay. Let's do a summary, if you would. You are justified, declared not guilty. You are righteous in God's eyes when you ask him to forgive you, when you ask Christ into your life, and we repent, which means I'm not living that way anymore. I'm living this way for you, God. Then we are justified. Faith in Jesus is the only way to have God's peace. Accept no substitutes. Maintain a lifestyle of focusing on God. This is a daily process. Now, I know sometimes you get busy. You may not read the word for a few days. Don't let that become a lifestyle. If you got some free times, I remember I was in John Carter's church once. I was doing a workshop or something, and he said, you know, he has a church in Syracuse. There's some days I hardly pray at all. But just some days, I just pray almost half the morning or more. And that really freed me up. You know, it's like, it's not a formula or equation, but when I spend time with God, it shows me I really care about him. Confess and repent. Praise and thankfulness and intentional surrender helps us get peace with God. The end, Paul writes, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Would you close your eyes with me, please? I want you to envision Calvary. I want you to envision the three crosses. The middle one was where Jesus was. It's the day after, it's the Sabbath, the day after Christ was crucified, and that cross is empty. Then he rose again. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. The devil thought he had won. The Bible tells us Jesus was tortured, suffered for our sake. He rose again. So you look at that cross and you tell me what that means to you. To me, it means life. It doesn't mean a symbol that brings me good fortune. It tells me that my Jesus died for me. So the wages of sin is death. Who is going to pay the wage of death? If it's me, if I don't ask him to forgive me, I will. And that doesn't mean a physical death. That means a spiritual death where when I die, I am damned to hell forever. But when I asked Jesus to forgive me, he paid that penalty, so all my sins have been wiped clean. So I look at that cross and I see my future. When life is hard and, you know, I just want to go to bed and sleep for 6 months, I keep pressing on because I know Jesus is with me. And maybe today you're not ready to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to throw the gauntlet down and say to God, if Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, God, please show me that. If you pray that now or in your quiet time when you're alone, if you have an open heart, I guarantee you, God will show you and reveal that to you, because that is a prayer my God never ignores. So I pray, Lord God, for all of us that we would have your peace. As we hear, be still and know that you are God, it's easy for me to do at 11:01 on a Sunday morning. But when we get the phone call we don't want to get, Lord, it steals my peace. And we all have to look at the things in our lives. What steals our peace? And we have to pray about it. We have to look to you, and we have to turn our attention daily to you. And I pray that you would show each and every one of us the places where, God, we do not have our eyes focused on you, but on something else. Our top priority has to be you, Jesus. And God, I know it sounds harsh to say anybody that doesn't have that relationship with you is destined for eternity in hell, but that's what you said. Either you're with me or against me. So even the meekest, mildest person that's of a different religion is against you. It might be because of deception and ignorance, I accept that, but they're against you. The only way to be with you, the only way to have peace beyond the moment is that connection. And I pray today, Lord God, for anybody here that's really struggling with any hard situation, that they would have your peace, your assurance that you are with them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that has never made that firm commitment with you, that as I pray, that they would say to you right now, God, I know Jesus is your son. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I stand condemned in your eyes. But if I ask you to forgive me, Lord, and I give my life to Jesus, then the words of Romans apply to me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I pray right now, Lord, is anybody here that they would pray that prayer? And if you do that, I pray that you would talk to somebody afterward. Just let them know so that they can be praying for you. But Lord, I pray that you would continue to be glorified, that it would be less of us and more of you, Lord. You know how easy it is to struggle about that, Lord. But let us be still and know that you are God and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. If anybody has prayer needs, come on up, and we'd love to pray for you.